You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. We are going to have a lot of fun today talking about how to help businesses in California thrive by talking to somebody who is really knows what she's doing when she talks about networking. This is Kim Marie Branch Petted, who is the CEO and owner of LaTip International. So, Kim Marie, welcome to the Pilgrim on the 405.
Thank you, Will. It's nice to be here.
So, tell us a little bit about how networking has helped you get to where you are today.
Well, to be honest with you, when I started in banking, I was a banker of 30 years. I joined a small independent bank, and they said, we don't want any more Rotarians, so you need to find something else to get into to network. So I tried LaTip, and in the first 7 months, I was almost fired 7 times. And in the first 7 months, I almost quit 7 times. And I realized that there was something to the structure of this LaTip chapter that I joined. So I learned how to network by reading everything I could get my hands on about the company, truly trying to understand how to build relationships. And I was an unusual banker. I got a 2% commission on anything I brought in. So on that 2% commission, the last 5 months of my first year, I put $50,000 in my pocket. That include other commissions or my salary. And the second year, I did even better. And at that point, the owner of LaTip at that time, the only other owner there ever was Ken Peterson, came to me and said, I'd like you to go to work for me. I couldn't find the time to meet him because his office manager only wanted me to come between Monday and Thursday. And having integrity, I wasn't going to tell my boss. I was flying from Fresno, California to San Diego to meet with him. If he wanted to meet with me, he'd have to get me in on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Unfortunately, Ken died on the golf course, and they brought him back by defibrillation. And defibrillation was brand new at that time.
Oh, my goodness.
So he came in. He let his office manager go, and he called me, and he says, do you want an interview or not? I explained the situation, and he overnighted a ticket to me. On a Sunday, that same Sunday, in March, and I was going to be starting in June if I took the job, I flew out. He made me wait 2 hours in the San Diego airport. It only has 2 terminals. So I was smart enough to page him. We got together, and 45 minutes later, he was offering me a job. I gave him 2 conditions, and he laughed. He said, you're giving me conditions. I said, if you want to work with me, yes. I asked him why he didn't hire me as his company president, because I felt I had everything it required.
Right.
He said, I just hired someone who will be coming from the East Coast in August, and I need you right now. He gave me 5 different locations to move into, and I said, I'll take Arizona, because there was nothing here but 1 chapter of 32 in Tucson.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay, this is the deal. How long is this guy staying? And he said, about 5 years. I said, okay, in 5 years, I'm going to be the company president, and then I'm going to own your business. Are you okay with that? He laughed and thought that was hysterically funny. I was serious as a rock.
Uh-huh.
And 4.5 years later, I'd grown Arizona to 800 members and 38 chapters and became the company president in 2005. In 2008, I made him an offer he couldn't refuse, and I bought the company. So I was determined from the beginning. People ask me all the time, why are you involved with LaTip? Why did you buy it? I saw a real process that could help people grow their business, and I thought I could help change it, not from its original existence, but add things to it that would make it even better. Mm-hmm. And I did it to give it back to the members. We're all small business owners. If we can help each other, we survive. And you'll find that I'm very passionate about small business. It's what I'm on a soapbox about every day. Because if we don't keep small business alive, America changes beyond recognition. So I'm all about helping the small business owner.
Well, now, do you think there's any chance that there won't be small businesses thriving in America?
I'm worried about it. I left California because the tax base was too strong for me. I moved the entire company after 30 years in San Diego to Mesa, Arizona. There was a reason. I'm a native Californian, born and raised in San Francisco and most of my adult life in the Central Valley. So it's hard to leave home, but it was necessary for me if I wanted the company to thrive.
Right, right.
So I felt like I could give back more and sure. help. Yes, to answer your question, I think there's possibilities that we might see small business slowly leaving or being dissolved or not
maybe happening. Leaving California.
Yes.
But not leaving the country.
No. Right. Not entirely. It just depends on tax situations and what they're given, what opportunities they have. We have to increase the opportunities for small business to thrive. You know, entrepreneurship in this country is huge.
Yes.
And we have to foster that and to encourage more.
Yes. And to me, what I believe is that the successful people see problems as they see limitations as problems to be solved, not limitations to be lived with. And
correct.
And for me, the country is larger than California. And I have yet to see any of the freeways get less congested in the last 20 years. So, I hear that there are businesses leaving and moving to Texas. I grew up in Texas, so they can have it. That I choose to be here. There's no ocean in Arizona, is there?
Not yet. The big earthquake hasn't happened yet, right?
Okay. But for me, it really is, for me, it seems to me that it's strengthening those entrepreneurs, helping them to take their vision and create a world that around them where they're going to thrive.
Absolutely. In fact, LATIP takes that so seriously. A couple of Mondays ago, we rolled out our own website for members only that connects them to each other across the country and into Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Not only can they give business, they can get advice. They can talk to each other. They're immediately connected. We're no longer in small little groups. We still meet that way. Chapters meet that way, but they have the opportunity to share business across the country. And I think that's huge.
Well, all right. So I'm curious, How does someone come to the conclusion that LATIP would be helpful to them?
Like I tell a lot of people who come to us, you need to attend a meeting. Take a look at the people around. Are they like-minded like you are? Do they have the same goals in mind? How do you feel when you attend the meeting? We are a relationship-building organization. Yes, we pass tips and leads. We're here together to help grow your business. But if you don't genuinely like and care for each other, it's not going to work. It doesn't matter what name it is. Another networking organization, a local chamber. What's different about us is our structure. We only allow one category per business in our chapter, so there's no competition. We meet weekly so that we're in front of you and top of mind. And we educate our sales force, which becomes all of our members, to work for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know about you, but as a banker, I didn't have the money to go out and hire 10 salespeople. But instead, I had 23 salespeople working for me day in and day out. So I got business continually, and the more I could educate them, the more business came. So it's about giving and then getting. It's about understanding relationships and people, and it's about understanding it's not a get rich quick. Sometimes you're lucky. You're a carpet cleaner. You can have money immediately, but it takes a lot of carpet cleaning to build your business. A financial advisor may take 2 or 3 years until they start seeing the kind of income that they're really looking for. So it's not a jump in, let me take all I can from the group. It's let me jump in and see how I can give to others, let the doors open to let me receive it back, and now we're seeing mutual respect and mutual growth for each other's business.
Well, are there businesses which are appropriate for LATIP and some which are not?
Yes. I think every single person who's in business could use LATIP to a certain point or extent. I want to share with you the story about a person that I know in the state of Washington. He puts in restaurants or restrooms the little bottle that sprays a nice smell. His nickname was Stinky.
Mm-hmm.
And he was with LATIP for a long time. He called me with the dilemma, it's not giving me what I need anymore. I've changed my business model from an individual proprietor to a franchise model. How can you help me? Well, first of all, I encouraged him to get all of his franchise people to join LATIP so we could help grow their small business. And I encouraged him to go to a nationally or international organization of CEOs, Vistage, EOS, there are others, there are many out there, and get involved so he could turn to people who could give him good business advice mm-hmm. at a level that he'd never assumed before. So it worked really well, and I think that's what we become. Latif becomes a stepping stone. We're really good for the small business owner who wants to have a good business but maybe isn't that interested in growing it big, mm-hmm. and we're good for people who grow it big and need to go someplace else. We do training on a monthly basis for new members and twice a year for board members. So we really feel like we have the opportunity to help build community leaders. And I think the more business leaders we have that can think on that level, the more help we can give to small business around the country.
Sure, absolutely. The stronger that small businesses are in a local community, the stronger the community is going to be.
Right.
I mean, it certainly increases the tax base. And if you've got a great company where the leaders of the company are really open to sharing with the rest of the employees, then it changes the nature of the culture.
We had the pleasure of being recognized by Schwarzenegger when he was your governor with a Latif Day. So I forget what they call that, but they gave us this award that was a day just for Latif because of the economic impact we had on the communities.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about somebody at Latif. What are the things that someone should be doing in terms of building relationships in a Latif meeting or any networking opportunity?
Well, let me share with you networking and structured networking. Networking, you could go to a chamber event, and there's probably 30 to 50 of you there in the same category. You could go to an off-the-wall type of networking and you're meeting people. Let's use Meetup. It's a great place to meet people, but you don't have the opportunity to build and grow the relationship. In a structured networking organization, you're going to go every single week. It's really becoming your marketing arm of your company. Not only are they listening to you and becoming your sales force, but we're allowed to market through our members. So I think it's really important to understand that when you're at a networking event like Latif, you're going to come for attendance, out of sight, out of mind. If you're not there, we're not thinking about you. We're going to teach you how to give a succinct commercial, not the same one every week, but changing it up every time so that we're target marketing the audience. You need to target market. Are you selling to men or women? Are you selling a product or service? What is it you want us to know about you so we can genuinely help you, right? How do you want us to get those people and who are they? You need to tip. We have a minimum tip, a quantity of 4 per month, which is 1 a week. You're not really growing anybody's business by 1 tip a week. And we have 2 kinds, inside, meaning member to member. So forgive me for saying it, but it's like kissing or swapping spit. We're just trading dollars. Nobody's business is really growing at that point. That should be 20% or less of your business within a networking group.
So what do you mean by a tip?
A referral.
A referral.
All right. We call them tips in Latif, hence our name. Mm-hmm. It's a warm referral, never cold. So inside is member to member. I'm trying out what you do. I'm selling your radio advertising to people because I think you're a genuine guy. I've learned about you. I know who you want to be in front of, etc. But how I really grow my business and yours is to talk to people on the outside. 80% of your business in a structured networking group should be coming from me, listening to people on the outside. Hey, I want to get the message about my business out. I know a great radio guy. Let me introduce you to him. When we can do that, now we really start seeing our business grow. And I tell you that you have to show up. So attendance is important. Tipping or passing warm referrals is important. You need to be involved. Are you just sitting there or are you committed to being part of it? I don't let anybody in groups that I work with sit on the sidelines. There's a board of directors, there are committee chairs, and if you're not one of those, you need to be on a committee because the more active you are, the more business you will receive. So for me, that's what you need to do. You need to show up, not throw up on everybody. A lot of people will do that. I meet you for the first time and I tell you, bam, 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 everything that I do. The first time is okay. The second time, the third time, if you're doing it the same way, no one's listening to you or paying attention. Need to really target market the audience again. What is it you want? from this person? How can you share with them who you are? How do you get them to buy from you, so to speak? I just recently became a certified trainer of BANK. I don't know if you know what BANK is, but it stands for Blueprint, Action, Nurture, and Knowledge. It's how I can recognize someone and treat them with respect, talk to them with respect in a way they like to be sold to. So you may not know who I am, and you would have no idea to know, but I'm an action nurturer, equal 50-50 for those two. Action means I run around with my hair on fire. I make quick decisions. It doesn't take me a long time, but the nurturing part of me is everything I do is because of how I feel about other people. I care. So when people can understand that, my son, for example, is a knowledge. He comes in, he takes a long time to tell me a 3-minute story, and I tell him, you have to speed it up. And for him, right. I have to slow down. But talking that way respectfully to each other really makes for good relationships. And it's something that we've brought back into LTIP, where we can identify our members and look at the color on their badge and know that we're talking to an action or a nurturer or a blueprint.
Good. All right. So what should people be doing in that networking meeting?
Well, in ours, it's very structured. So you come in, and for the first 15 minutes of the morning or the afternoon, we have two times that we meet, they're actually networking with each other. They're greeting everyone who's in the room. They're not sitting down. They're not standing in a corner. They're actively greeting every member and guest who comes through the door. Then we go into a professional type of meeting. We introduce the officers who are running it. We always start with the pledge and the creed, by the way, the Pledge of Allegiance and the Creed of LTIP. Then we introduce our officers. We introduce our guests. And we let our guests tell us about themselves personally so we can immediately start building relationships with them. From that point, we go into hearing our program director tell us what's on the program for the day. So we have a 4-week stair-step program of a showboater showing us their display, like a tabletop display, a greeter, where we are the greeter for that week. So everybody's greeting, but we have one that's an official greeter. The third week, you become the speaker, and you have 10 minutes. 8 minutes to introduce your speech and talk about your business, 2 minutes to answer questions. And you're always introduced professionally so that you get in the habit of standing up and being introduced and then presenting. So we're building leaders again. And then the last week, we call it the lucky devil. I'm not sure where the name came from, but it's our opportunity to have another member be selected to have our business card and get up and give us a 30-second commercial about our speech. So now they get to learn how to speak extemporaneously. We get to learn if we taught them anything. If we did, we're done. If not, you and I are having coffee so that I can explain it again.
Good.
Then we go into a small business meeting. Takes 20 minutes. We talk about the money and the business that's passed from the previous week. We talk about the treasury, and it's in great shape. We tell you that we have a business mixer once a quarter in place of this meeting so that we can let our hair down and be a little more social. We go into the who's on first and second for the following week with the program director, and we wrap it up with the membership chair, the 5 reasons why we join. Once those 5 reasons are given, there are a few little things, cleaning up in the chapter of things that they follow through, and then we start with our commercials. Every member and guest is allowed 30 seconds. And I say 30 seconds, where some people go 45 seconds to a minute. They're dinged. We ask them to sit down after 30 seconds because you only remember 20 seconds of your commercial. So you don't want to waste your time or forget you altogether. We need to get in front of people, tell them what it is, and sit down so that people will remember us long after the meeting.
Wow.
The president gives the 5 reasons to join, and we end our meeting. Would you like to hear the 5 reasons anybody should join?
Sure. Let's hear it.
Well, the first reason is to put dollars in your pocket. It's about self-serving. It's all about me coming because I need to grow my business. That's what we start out with. The second is you will become a better public speaker. Everybody has a chance to speak for 30 seconds each week. Sometimes you're going to be the speaker, or sometimes you'll speak extemporaneously, but you become better at doing it. The third reason you join is the family part of LTIP, the loyalty of doing business with each other. If I have a property and casualty agent in my chapter, why would I give my business for property and casualty somewhere else? So we build that camaraderie and that loyalty. And if I can't change for some reason, I'm going to do twice as much work on the outside for him as I would on the inside. The fourth reason you join is you become a referral source for your clientele. Most people in business today do not know how to tell their clients who they're working with or for. Hmm. When you can do that, and I teach that in new member training so that all people have a fair opportunity to go out and bring in business, mm-hmm. they're shocked. I didn't know this would work. This is phenomenal. Thank you. But I do it through a roster, and it makes it very easy. But again, people say, Kim Marie knows everyone. If you want to be introduced to someone, call her. And then the last reason is psychic income. Just the warm feeling you get for helping someone else. To me, that should be number one. Mm-hmm. But we're all pretty much self-serving, so it has mm-hmm. to start with dollars in your pocket. And it should end with how it makes you feel. If it feels good, you want to do it again and again and again.
Great.
If it doesn't feel good, you're out of here.
Yeah. That sounds wonderful. Now let me ask you, one of the things that's been on my mind for the past couple of years is this wonderful book by a fellow from Harvard. His name was Putnam, and it's called Bowling Alone.
Hmm.
You know that book?
I do not, unfortunately, right. But I will.
What he is tracking is the demise, you mentioned Rotary, the demise of all of these service opportunities that we had.
Mm-hmm.
The bowling alone metaphor is before we had lots of bowling leagues. My dad was in a bowling league.
Mine too.
All right. But now, where are the bowling leagues? And he's picturing this fellow out bowling alone, looking for that camaraderie that's there. Now, when I look around and look at Rotary, I'm a Rotarian, but I'm also aware that there's a huge need for bringing in new Rotarians. It's, you know, the Rotary Club that I'm in Newport Beach has lots of people who are over 75. And the question is, who's picking up the baton? And that seems to be the case in lots of the mainstream churches, other service organizations, Boy Scouts, all of these places that used to be social agencies seem to be having great difficulty. How is that affecting LTIP?
I'm not sure if it is affecting LTIP because we're not a service organization.
Mm-hmm.
We do philanthropic things as groups, but we're really there with the same mindset to grow each other's business.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we've made an opportunity. I was a Rotary Ann. Do you know what those are?
Yes, right.
So my husband was a Rotarian. I still have a Rotary Ann pin before they let women in.
Oh, yes.
I won't let anybody have it for anything. Someone offered me $1,000 for it. I said, no, I'm keeping it. But even at that time, I believe now Rotary allows you to have more than one of the same category. It's something fairly new in the past few years. They allow you to have at least two.
Mm-hmm.
So they are a service organization, and I think people are finding ways to service their communities in other ways.
Yes.
They
yes.
just don't care anymore about service, and so it's not important. With us as not being a service organization, but truly there to help you grow your business, we encourage people to get involved with their local chambers. We mm-hmm. encourage them to go back and get into Rotary, Kiwanis, Lions Club, because that's where we draw from. We're finding a lot of those people want to belong to us because they haven't gotten what they needed out of the service clubs, and they're looking for more in a networking organization. So I think we're benefiting from the loss of that socialization, which is unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many people today on social media,
Facebook,
that they feel they don't need each other. I find a younger generation coming up is starving for the face-to-face, but they don't know how.
Right.
As we talk to people and explain what we do, that they get up and they learn how to speak in front of each other, that they have the opportunity to be leaders like on the board, it's appealing. It's very appealing to them. And I think as we see times change, the era I grew up in, which are 60s and over, we're going to retire. And who's carrying on the baton? You know, there are different generations. And in those different generations, there are people who will carry through. But the youngest generation right now are the ones who are going to take over.
Right.
It used to be a 40 to 55-year-old organization, our average member age. Today, we're 25 to 40.
Really?
Our youngest member in New Jersey is 18, runs about 46 employees.
Wow.
Yes. So it's getting younger and younger, and we are appealing to entrepreneurs because they have no place else to go.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let me change a little bit and tell us about the LATIP organization in Arizona. How many people, how do you organize it? Talk about how that's thriving. How do you run LATIP?
Well, first of all, I run the entire country. We're in over 16 states and in Canada, Ontario, hopefully going into many more this year. Mm-hmm. How we run it is each chapter owns itself. They have a board of directors that runs through our structure and organization. We have an East Coast vice president, a West Coast vice president, and several area representatives who represent us with feet on the street. Mm-hmm. We have an annual training, board training in the spring and another one in the fall. We train all new members so they all have the opportunity to make money faster by understanding what they need to do. Mm-hmm. And what I do from my seat, I don't spend a lot of time in my chair. I am a working CEO. I just got back, like I said, I left for a conference in San Diego on Sunday. I got back late last night.
We heard that you were an activity person, right?
Yes. Have
activity and nurturing.
Absolutely.
I'll bet the nurture face-to-face, right?
I like face-to-face. I think people will work for you harder if they get to know who you are and understand who's running the organization. So I'm on the street most of the time, meeting in different states with my members. I attend meetings every week. Here in Arizona, I want us to grow. So we're looking for more opportunities to grow here. As you're running an entire organization, if you don't have help in one area, it's not going to grow as well. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to do both, and I find it's daunting. Even though I'm doing it, it's not what I prefer to do. Mm-hmm. So I act as a vice president of the Central Corridor, and my first goal before the end of 2020 is to find people to take my place here so that we truly can give benefit to our members.
Mm-hmm.
But we're doing well.
So in your organization, is it just you in Arizona?
Yes, right now it is.
No assistants?
Nope. I have an admin that uh-huh. works with me. She takes calls and handles my calendar. But right uh-huh. now it's just me.
Wow. And how big is LATIP?
We're not huge in Arizona. We have about just under 200 members, eight uh-huh. chapters. We're opening two new ones right now. So I'd like to get it back to the 800 members that we were. But when I left in 2005, it sort of fell apart here. Mm-hmm. And that means I didn't replace myself with the right leaders. That was on me. And I'm the one that's having to take that back and say, look, we're going to grow it again. We're going to do it right.
Well, how big is LATIP totally?
5,200 people.
5,200?
Yes.
Wow, interesting. And in California, how many in California?
Oh my gosh, I haven't broken it down in a while. I couldn't tell you, but we're in San Francisco area, San Jose, Monterey Bay area. We're in Sacramento, it's big. We're not in the Central Valley, unfortunately for me, because that's where I'm from. I'd like it to be there.
Right.
Lots in Los Angeles, Orange County, San Diego. Uh-huh. So the whole gamut of California. And we have an executive or vice president of California, Doug Christian, who handles all of the West Coast, including Nevada and Oregon and Washington.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting. So then would I assume that in a sense this is a virtual company?
Yes, I can take my business anywhere. No matter where I am, I can be on the computer and I can attend a meeting. Tomorrow morning, we're starting a new chapter in Canada, in Ontario. I will be on the call at 4:30 in the morning, greeting all the guests that are there uh-huh. and trying to close them. And it will be virtual, just like this, through Zoom.
Uh-huh. So now, what other tools do you use in this virtual organization? Zoom is one.
Yes. We have our members-only website called LATIP Wired. Mm-hmm. They can do everything that they need to do online, from giving a tip or a referral to someone to getting one. There's an opportunity for them to put their profile, a picture, and a 30-second commercial online so any member can see who they are. And we're working on ways to make that port over to LATIP.com so the world can find them.
Mm-hmm.
I've wanted to make this organization an opportunity to give more outside business in for a long time and couldn't do it till we had the technology done. Mm-hmm. The technology is now there, and we'll be able to promote people. Have you ever heard of Angie's List?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So, you know, if you're in Angie's List and you're ranked high, it's because you paid them more money. It doesn't mean anything about your ability.
I didn't know that.
Yes, sir. They don't qualify you or verify what you do, but they're a great organization. In LATIP, however, every member is vetted, and we use the six core values of integrity, loyalty, passion, commitment. What's the other two? Excellence and accountability. Those are our six core values. And by using those and then vetting every single member that comes in, we know that we can trust each other to do business. So if I'm telling you, you need a realtor, I'm telling you, use one of these. They're absolutely phenomenal. And I can send you from the outside in to look at them. You see their video, you see their name, you see their profile. I'm going to use that person.
Uh-huh.
So it gives them an opportunity to get business that they wouldn't get any other way. And I think we're the only organization out there doing this.
Uh-huh.
And we just started it.
Now, tell me about your training. Is the training inside the portal for LATIP?
Yes, I do live training four times a month for brand new members. It's a three-hour class that I get done in 2 hours, 2 hours and 10 minutes. Everybody is interactive. Everybody gets to see each other. They're introduced to each other. At the end of the meeting, if they want a complete list of everyone who attended along with their phone number and email address, we send it to them. So we're now linking people. For instance, we have a tip that's called, I told you, an inside tip, an outside tip, mm-hmm. and now an inter-chapter tip. If you were in an organization like ours and there was no florist in there, but you wanted to send your wife flowers, why would you go out to a florist that doesn't have any reason to give you business back?
Right, yeah.
Then you could go online, find the florist that's FTD or Telefloral, and actually give them business. And by the third time I gave a florist business, they started looking how they could give me business back.
Good.
So that's LATIP to LATIP, loyalty to loyalty. When we can connect everyone together and you're now using someone who's vetted and qualified and we're sending people from the outside to use those people, that's huge growth for any business.
So what I'm hearing is part of your job is certainly coordinating as the CEO. Another part that I'm hearing is trainer.
Yes.
You're also this chief nurturer.
Yes.
Shows up all over the place, right?
Yes.
Who brings in new members? Who is the salesperson for LATIP?
I would say our entire staff does that. We all bleed LATIP blue. It's in our veins. We talk about it. But the chapter members themselves. If I send you a possibility, because we have an online portal where people can ask to visit a chapter and be invited, so we send you people, but why would you take my person that I don't know who they are? Never met them. They just came through the website. Sometimes we get a win. Sometimes we don't. So if I'm in there, for instance, as a banker in my own chapter, I needed an estate planning attorney. I didn't know any. So we put it out through an escrow tip that I was looking for an estate planning attorney, and our tip master every week said, we're looking for an estate planning attorney. Mm-hmm. After about 6 weeks, we had one visit. He liked it. He joined. But it came from another member. Mm-hmm. So we tell our members, change your badge color. As you start, you have a white badge with the date on it. You're on probation until you've brought one person in, either to your own chapter or any chapter in the U.S.
Really? Wow.
Yes. And at the end of the year, if it's not green, then we don't like stinking yellow badges because they're old with age. What it shows is that you haven't helped yourself grow your business. Mm-hmm. So everyone's required within the first year to bring someone in. We hope they'll bring power partners, people that they know they can give business to 24/7 or get business from 24/7.
Wow.
So that's part of what we do to make sure that we're growing. We encourage and we hold contests. Corporate office says, hey, you're doing a good job. Let me put more dollars in your pocket. If you bring in two or more at the end of the contest period, you're going to put X number of dollars in your pocket. We gave away a trip last year. So there are all kinds of things that we do mm-hmm. to incentivize them, but they should want to grow their group with their own people. So they're now using people that they can vet and make sure that they trust and like right. to do business with.
Right. Sounds like you got a really nice organization there.
Well, thank you, Will. I think so. We've been in business 41 years. We are the gold standard. We started it all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's not many other organizations like this, are there? There's BNI.
BNI started from LaTip.
Did they really?
Was a member.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
He took it and franchised it. So good for us. I mean, that's a great thing. There's so much business out there.
Oh, yes.
You cannot have a scarcity mentality with this.
No.
And I tell people, if LaTip doesn't work for you, you should go to BNI. You should walk in, because we're national organizations. How does it feel to you? If it feels good, go with it. If it doesn't, try another one.
Really?
But for heaven's sakes, go with the national one, not just a little fly-by-night that doesn't have it down.
Right. It doesn't have a system.
Correct.
Right? They have a system that works. I mean, why reinvent the wheel?
You know, we do something different than BNI, different than any other networking organization in the world. We pay for venue insurance. If you're meeting in a venue that's qualified by us, someone were to slip and fall or hurt themselves, they have to go through my insurance. Now, law says you can sue anybody for any reason.
Right, right.
They would have to go through my insurance first, which is a huge protection for any small business. Board of directors, D&O insurance, directors and officers insurance, is also covered by me for LaTip only. Because I think if they're following the structure and they make a decision that a member doesn't like and they want to sue them, they can, but they'd have to go through my insurance.
Mm.
Now, people have said to me, why would you do that? Because I care about small business, and I would hate for you to lose your business if you weren't covered.
Right.
So I tell people, if you're not going to join BNI, and BNI unfortunately doesn't offer the same thing, but if you're not going to join LaTip, whatever you join, ask those difficult questions.
Sure.
How am I protected when I go? If I sit on the board, what protection do I have? Should I get my own coverage?
Right, right.
I encourage everybody, no matter what they're part of, if you're part of the PTA or PTO for your child, you should have coverage on your property and casualty insurance to cover you for D&O insurance.
Right.
Become part of something. So we train a lot of different things that people are not even aware of. It's not just about the money for us. It's never been the money for me.
Mm-hmm.
How can I help you become more successful, understand your role, and get you ingrained in the community so that you're making more money?
Let me ask you a tough question that comes to mind. We're thinking about Rotary. I mean, I've been involved with talking with Rotarians around the world. And the places where Rotary is growing are the places that where entrepreneurs are becoming more self-aware. India, a big place. Africa, lots of new Rotarians. There's a lot of enthusiasm. How would you say LaTip is in terms of diversity?
We're very diversified in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
We are only in Canada, which why that makes us international, I'm not sure. But we're in negotiations now to bring on, we've been accepted in 8 other countries.
Ah.
And 2 that haven't accepted us but are begging us to be there, which would be Israel and Thailand.
Mm.
Most recently, we've been working with Mexico.
Mm.
So it's interesting. We want to diversify more, but I needed to make sure we could take care of our own first here at home before we went out and made ourselves thinner. So watch for us in the next year or two. We will be growing, not only in the U.S., but across outside of the U.S. as well.
Well, when you think about Southern California, are there LaTip groups in the various cultural groups?
Well, I will tell you that we have diverse members in all chapters.
Uh-huh.
We tried starting in Koreatown.
Yes.
In Los Angeles. We tried starting a chapter there. They were told that they have to allow everyone to come in, and they let them not come in if they didn't speak Korean. So their meetings had to be in English.
Mm.
And that's because we're in the U.S. We can't be prejudiced against people.
Right.
I started one in Tucson who wanted to support the Hispanic community in Tucson. They wanted them only to be Mexican who joined, and they wanted to speak Spanish.
Mm.
I explained why we couldn't. They seemed to understand. They grew to a large group and lasted for several years. But again, it's a cyclical thing. If the leaders drop out or don't build other leaders, pretty soon it gets too diverse and it doesn't support itself.
Right.
So we've tried a lot of different combinations, and I think it's really leadership at the top. You're going to find diversity no matter what. We have a great, we have Armenians, Africans, Hispanics, Irishmen, all kinds of, I mean, every kind of walk of life. And it used to be in the old days, old school, just men.
Yes.
The tip was started to be for men and women right from the get-go.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. So women have always had a place in LTIP, and we encourage it. And we don't want that good old boy structure. Women bring a lot to the table, I feel.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And we want to encourage more women CEOs, more women business owners. We want to encourage them to be part of what we do.
Right. Well, we have seen enormous changes in the Episcopal Church as women become priests and now become bishops. Huge, huge changes in the culture.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. Well, thank you. Thank you, Kimmerese, so much for being with us. This has been, you know, I learned that BNI is a stepchild of LTIP, which was new. I didn't know that. But it sounds like you have a growing and a very exciting opportunity there.
Thank you, Will. It's been a pleasure to meet you. I hope I get to meet you face to face the next time I'm
in. Well, come to California. I'm in Orange County. So
I just went through there. I just went through there on my way down to San Diego.
Well, you'll have to come back and we'll have some coffee.
Sounds good to me.
So what would you like, if you had a couple of minutes, what would you like to tell businesses in California?
To be selective. To want the right things for their business, to go into a networking organization that they feel will fit the needs of their own business, and to ask questions. There's nothing wrong asking the right question, but be ready to give first, because if you go in and you expect to get and take from the group, it never works. It's all about giving. We started with the new mantra when I bought the company, give, get, grow, ... repeat. And I still to this day have never read The Secret. I'm told that's what it's all about. Uh-huh. I don't want to change what I'm doing because I think we're successful. Uh-huh. But I have to tell you, it is all about giving first.
Right.
And when you can do that and understand, the floodgates open and it comes in without you even expecting it or wanting it. It's there whether you want it or not.
Right. You might even talk about giving thanks, right?
Please. Grateful is the most important thing, don't you think? I wake up, I told you this morning, I say, hello. I'm all about thank you for letting me breathe,
see
another day, for my family, for my life. If we're not grateful, we don't respect what we have.
Right, right.
And I think being grateful allows you to be generous with lots of people.
Well, thank you very much, Kim Marie, for taking your time from what sounds like a very busy calendar to be with us and talk about how to help businesses in California thrive.
Thank you, Will. Wishing you much success.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist.